December
30th, Shamanadidi.
First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust
Tolerance
of the lotus
class.
Feet of my most worshipful Diksha Gurudev. Nityavila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Astotara Satashri Shrimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipful Shiksha Gurudev. Om Vishnupad Astotara Satashri Shrimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our Guru Varga and all the assembled devotees. So we'll start with Manjari Didi's question, and hopefully it can be answered or replied to some extent.
Question of yesterday.
Well, shyness is a good quality for you. The question is, I think, that
I think you're going to say it about how to be protected in this environment.
That one?
By self exchange. Yeah, that's that one. That's today's, and tomorrow is
gender one.
The gender one.
Okay. I was wondering,
this is a special time and a special place.
Okay. It's a special time and a special place, and most of us are here to have spiritual training and possibly become what Gurudev would like us. Gurudev has ordered some of us to become Brahmacharini. So, or we're here just for a special time for spiritual training and experience. So how can we best behave in a way that protects our spiritual life and our purpose for being here in terms of our relationships with male persons, especially if we have friendship and good relationships with men or boys who are friends or old school friends or our well-wishers who are gentlemen, and how to properly behave in such a way that makes Gurudev happy and also helps us in our spiritual life. And also, how is it, because we may be uncomfortable, where inside we feel very close and respectful to someone, we feel friendship and respect, but here we can't show the same like we would have in our home or when we were in school or another place.
Yeah, perfect timing.
We can't show the same behavior. So here we have to show different behavior, even though inside we maybe feel respect towards them. And so how to behave.
Your question was also in relation to
okay.
How to
behave
between ourselves in our own gender so that we feel happy. And if we're happy, then we can follow the procedures of dealing with the opposite sex. We will want to, because we'll be happy in the situation we are, and we won't be longing. We won't be feeling incomplete and longing for an association that will degenerate our consciousness, perhaps. So how do we, I think you were asking, how do we behave with each other so that we can feel strong, happy, and protected, so that we can follow the procedures of dealing with the opposite sex in a way that we will still be protected. So I think that was your full question. So first I'll answer the part of, well, I'll try to see if I get mercy. How do we act within our own selves, the ladies with the ladies? And this also includes men, because they're also living entities. In order that we can feel satisfied and happy. So, in this regard, will be drawing from the teachings of Parikshit Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, and our examples given by Srila Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada. One thing that puts us into a sense of dissatisfaction is the sense of friend and enemy. This is my friend and this is my enemy. So Prahlad Maharaj is teaching how to get rid of that, which is a big source of dissatisfaction. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with the living entities because of his devotional service, one becomes a pundit, a learned person. What's her name? Galindi. This is education, according to God himself, according to his pure devotee Prahlad Maharaj. This is an educated person, a pundit. He does not make distinctions between enemies, friends, and himself. That is, he doesn't make a distinction between the enemy and himself, or to speak of a friend and himself. This is Prahlad. Intelligently, he thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to his demoniac teachers. And then this is Srila Prabhupada's purport. Although we're all eternal servants of Krishna, under the influence of the external energy, we think we are separately situated as friends and enemies of one another. This mistaken idea has now been corrected, and therefore, unlike ordinary human beings, I no longer think he's taking the part of Prahlad. I no longer think that I am God and that others are my friends and enemies. Now I am rightly thinking that everyone is an eternal servant of God and that our duty is to serve the Supreme Master. Then we stand on the platform of oneness as servants. Only demons think in terms of friends and enemies. But Vaishnavas, they see everyone as a servant on the same platform. Therefore, they treat all living entities as friends, not as enemies, and tries to help everybody in Krishna consciousness. He tries to see Krishna in everyone's heart. Can you do that now? Okay, everybody, look at everybody else in the room and see Radha and Krishna in their hearts. And see a little sparkling star, spirit soul. And okay, now, and look at everybody else and see that they're actually Manjaris. And everybody's covered by pus, blood, stool, and urine, which takes the form of weird personalities and weird forms. Then there's a very interesting part, which I was reading to the devotees who last year. Maybe while I'm continuing, Vasanti, you can find this particular statement. Prabhupada says, this is Vaikuntha consciousness. It says that everyone should think of not only devotees as their Prabhu, but all living entities as their Prabhu, even grasses or trees. Not that doesn't mean to take orders from everybody, but it means to, according to one's level, to help everyone in their Krishna consciousness. And if that person is qualified to help me, then to take help. When Parikshit Maharaj was traveling and protecting his kingdom, he saw a cow that was beaten by Kali Yuga personified in the dress of a king. He was pretending he was a king, and he was beating a cow. So Purukit Maharaj asked him, "Who has beaten you?" And the cow said, he didn't blame Kali. He knew that Krishna was behind it. And so Purukit Maharaj said, "You are certainly the embodiment of religion. One who blames the perpetrator, one who identifies another person as the perpetrator of my suffering, he becomes as guilty as the perpetrator, or the person who thinks that he's the perpetrator." Kalindi, perpetrator means the one who does the bad thing. Perpetrator means the one who does the bad thing, the bad person. If I identify somebody as the bad person, then I'm as guilty as the bad person because I didn't see Krishna as the cause of it. And therefore, the destination of the bad person or perpetrator, I get the same destination because I've turned away from seeing Krishna as the cause of everything. And Purukit Maharaj himself, later on, when he was cursed by the brahmanas, by the Brahmin's son, and he was told about that curse, he thought, "This is very good, because I just did something wrong, and now I'm getting the reaction that I'll be dying in 7 days. So good. Now, because it's coming so soon after the thing I did, I know what the cause is. I can know that what I did is the cause of the result because it's coming so soon. And now I'll know never to do it again." And when he heard he was cursed, he said, Prabhupada's quoting this in a lecture, "Oh, all right, I've done some offense, and now this Brahmin son has cursed me. Very good." So Prabhupada said, just see how liberal he was. No anxiety. Prabhupada gave the example that if I say to Anuradha, "Oh, you gray chatter, you," then I'm foolish. But if she thinks, "Oh, she called me a gray chatter," then she's foolish. These are all ways of interaction. It's not going to have an order. I'm just throwing out different things that Gurudev and Prabhupada has said. And if we can relate with each other in this way, then we'll really be pundits and we'll really be happy. I mentioned this in another class, but I see many new faces, that I once told Gurudev, this was about 12 or 13 years ago, "I'm spending half my time criticizing others and the other half of my time worrying that others are criticizing me. How can I be free?" So Gurudev said, "You have to sing the songs of the Acharyas where they're praying to be free from these things and take shelter of their songs, and that will help you." He said, "Don't have any time for even thinking this because you're so busy taking the process to get out of it, which is the bhajans and, of course, the service. Because a moment misspent on these things, every moment is so valuable." What time is it now? 7:42. 7:42 is now gone. It's now 7:43. And that time, even if we spend millions and millions of dollars, we can't buy back that time, which was meant for cultivating Krishna consciousness. The human form of life is just like a bubble that comes up in an ocean, and it's there for a second, and then it goes back. So it's a great opportunity, and we can't buy back any second of time for millions of dollars. I was once complaining to Prabhupada that I couldn't get along with a certain devotee. In the middle of my sentence, I stopped myself, because by the influence of Prabhupada's presence, So I stopped myself in the middle of my sentence, and I said, well, should I just forget about it? And then Prabhupada said, yes, you have to forgive and forget, otherwise how can you live? You all know the story of the Brahmani, a very elderly Brahmani, a self-realized, who had a young son, who she ordered him to pick flowers for their Thakurji worship, and he was bitten by the snake. A hunter caught the snake, he saw the act, he caught the snake, brought the snake to the, brought the snake and the son to the mother, who was wailing in grief. And when her grief, when her wailing subsided, he begged her to allow him to kill the snake. She refused because it wouldn't bring back her son. But he didn't care. He said, he'll kill somebody else if I don't kill him. So he began to kill the snake. But then the snake started speaking. I've been living in that bush for years, and I haven't bitten anybody. It wasn't me. It was time. Kal. Blame him. Instantly, Kal appeared, time personified, and he said, it's not me. It was the time for the boy's sinful reaction to be fructified. In this boy's last life, he killed another boy, and that boy then became a snake and killed him back. So that's why it happened. It was the boy. So that comes again to not blaming anybody. Blaming means I'm holding the other person responsible for any suffering of mine. Gurudev said, you have to do austerities to gain anything and everything, except for one thing, criticism. That will come to you very easily without any endeavor. But this is how to take it. And then we become very grateful to the person who criticized, so much so that we want to build a hut for them in our house so that we can always hear from them. In Badger, Gurudev told about the Avanti Brahmana, who was naked and very happy, just wandering about with no cares of food, money, or anything. Was he naked? I think so. And Maharaj Yadu saw him and said, how is it that you're so happy? So he said, he told about his life that previously he wasn't so nice. And so then when he became renounced and he wasn't previously not nice. Because he's so strange looking, and he would go begging in the village, the people would all make fun of him and throw stool on his head, grab his begging bowl and throw urine in it, throw ashes on him, and he would just be happy, whatever they were doing. So Gurudev said, even if somebody passes urine on you, you should be happy. Well, how can I be happy if somebody passes urine on me? Because my Gurudev told me to. Like Arjun said to Krishna, do you expect me to be happy if I kill my relatives? You're telling me to. Do you expect me to be happy? And Krishna said, no, you won't be happy, but you have to tolerate it and do it anyway, because it's my order. And then by doing that, then we become happy. A very good example of this, of somebody who's happy because he knows how to relate with others in a wonderful way, is Lord Vishnu himself. He was lying down on his bed of shesh, and Lakshmi was massaging his feet and legs as usual, and Bhrigu Muni came along, because he was had been discussing with other sages, who is the absolute truth? Is it Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, or who? So they appointed him to make the test. And he went to Brahma and committed an offense in the mind. Brahma became angry. Then he went to Lord Shiva, committed an offense with his words. And Lord Shiva was becoming angry, but Durga told him to that you contain the three modes within you, just manifest the mode of goodness. So he tried to be tolerant. Then he went to Vishnu for committing an offense with his body. He went up to Vishnu lying there with Lakshmi, and he kicked him in the chest with his foot. So Lord Vishnu immediately got up and said, "Oh, please excuse me, O learned Brahmana. My chest is so soft, hard, and your foot is so soft. Please excuse me for any offense." Lakshmi didn't tolerate it, and after that she made the Brahmins poor. But Lord Vishnu is showing us for ourselves how to be. When that pundit, Sri Balabhacharya, he was acquainted with Srila Rupa Goswami, and he was visiting him. And he said, "What are you writing?" He said, "Oh, I'm writing Ujjvala Nilamani, or Vidagna Madhava, I forget." And he said, "Oh, can I see it?" "Yes, you can see it." And so when he saw it, he took it away and he saw it and he thought, there's some mistakes here. It's not grammatical, but content mistakes. And then Jiva Goswami heard him saying that. So he went and met him outside and he proved to him that he was wrong and his Gurudev was right. So his Gurudev reprimanded his disciple Jiva Goswami and he said, "I'm trying to respect him and you're disrespecting him. He's my guest. You couldn't tolerate. He's just trying to help me." So see how in a positive way he saw the thing. Similarly, King Ambarish, although he was clearly innocent and Devasa Muni was clearly guilty. Did you find it?
Yeah, just the next one.
Oh, he was clearly guilty. Still, when he threw that, he plucked his dreadlock and threw it on the floor and this fiery demoness came to attack Ambarish Maharaj. And then the chakra came to protect Ambarish Maharaj and chased Durvasa all over the universe and beyond. All this time, Ambarish Maharaj was feeling bad that because of me, this poor Brahmana is suffering. So he prayed to the Sudarshan chakra to protect him. And then, on the order of Lord Vishnu, Durvasa Muni came to Ambarish Maharaj to beg forgiveness. Where? And Ambarish Maharaj said, "Oh yes, immediately. Take all the results of my pious activities. Immediately be delivered." So Prahlad is saying, "Pandita, those who are actually learned, equipoised, advanced devotees, who have full knowledge of everything, do not see any living entity as enemy or friend." That's not it. It's where he says Prabhu. Oh, here it is. "As servants of the Supreme Lord, all living entities are one. But a Vaishnava, because of his natural humility, addresses every other living entity as Prabhu." It's not even every other devotee or a senior devotee, but every living entity he addresses as Prabhu. He sees other servants, whether they're less advanced or more advanced, doesn't make any difference. He sees other servants to be so advanced that he has to learn from them. It doesn't mean that he has to hear from them Simboga's philosophy if they don't know something. But he figures out some way that they're his teacher. Just like even the Avanti Brahmana was saying, "I have 24 gurus. The air is my guru because the air goes everywhere, but it never becomes affected by anything." Krishna says in the Gita, just like the air, on account of its subtle nature, does not mix with anything, although it's all pervading.
Is it more like it's your perspective of the outside world? Everything is.
Take everything as a teacher for my Krishna consciousness, because I'm seeing everywhere Krishna, so I'm seeing everywhere as Krishna is teaching me through other living beings. Although everyone is a servant of the Lord, the Vaishnava servant, because of humility, sees another servant as his master. The understanding of the master begins from understanding of the spiritual master, of our real spiritual master. Then Prabhupada writes in this connection of Prahlad Maharaj that everyone should appreciate the service of others and not think his own service is good, but think that everybody else's service is good. There were two men, and they were just about to cross a river when a lady asked for help. So one of the brahmanas, or friends, he picked up the lady and carried her across the river, put her down, and she went away. After some time, the other friend said to him, "You know, I didn't really think it was right that you carried that lady." So then the other first friend said to him, "I only carried her for a few minutes, but you've carried her for all these hours." And then, you know, the example of the scorpion. Here's how the scorpion even is a guru. Two friends by the river, and one of them saw a scorpion flapping in the water and drowning. So he picked him up with his hand, and the scorpion bit his hand, and he jerked, and the scorpion fell or jumped back into the water. And this happened a few times because the scorpion was drowning in the water. So his friend said to him, "You know, the scorpion keeps biting you. Why do you keep picking him up?" He said, "Oh, the scorpion's..." Oh, he was a brahmana. "The scorpion's my guru because he's teaching me a lot. He's teaching me that..." Because even though I'm trying to help him and save his life, still, how does he thank me? By biting me. So he's a scorpion, and that's his nature. You know, a scorpion, even in astrology, is very biting. So if somebody has a lot of scorpion in him, he's a biting kind of person. So the scorpion's nature is to bite, and even though I'm trying to help him, he's not giving up his nature. So I'm a brahmana, and a brahmana has a certain nature. Why should I give up my nature just because he's biting me? And then Gurudev gives the example. You can see there's no flow in my speak. One thing doesn't lead to another. It's just a ton of examples how to deal with each other. And then beyond our own group, others. But we get a lot of practice within the group. So Gurudev gives the example of electricity. Electricity is coming in a wire, and if at the end of the wire it's not insulated and the wire is just separated into those little parts, you know, it's twirled, it has the insulation, and then at the bottom it's not twirled but it's loose and it's not insulated. So if you throw water up at that uninsulated electrical wire, then that electric current immediately falls back on you and you die. And Gurudev made his head move in such a way that he looked like he died. So that means if we throw out criticism, then that quality that we're criticizing, whether it's in the person or not, it comes back and kills us. Like, you know, the example of the prostitute and the brahmana. The brahmana was criticizing the prostitute. The prostitute was appreciating the brahmana. So the brahmana was captured by the yamadutas at the time of death, and the prostitute was taken by the Vishnu dutas because they traded qualities because they were thinking of each other. There were 10 prajetyas. Prajetyas were the sons of King Parchini Barhishat in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Narada Muni was preaching to the king, so he wanted to go off and become renunciate. So first, his sons had to prepare to become the king, to take his place. So they went off to do severe austerities. They were even under the water, meditating under the water. And at the completion of their austerities, when the Lord was satisfied with them, Lord Vishnu came to them on Garuda, and he said, because all of you are in such accord with each other, I'm giving you all blessings. I'm giving you my blessings. So then Prabhupada writes that if all the God brothers and God sisters are in accord, as previously mentioned in the previous examples, then they'll get all benedictions from the Lord. Oh yeah, this is a really big one. There was a king and his ministers, and they were traveling, and they took rest under a mango tree. So while the king was resting under the tree, some boys came along and started throwing rocks at the mango tree so that the mango would be hit and fall down. One of the rocks accidentally hit the eye of the king, and blood started gushing out, and he became blind in the one eye. So his minister said to him, O king, please order us immediately to kill those boys, or at least to torture them, so that they would wish they were dead. So the king said, why? Here I am sitting under a tree. They're throwing rocks at the tree, and the tree is, what is the tree doing in return? It's giving them sweet mangoes. So am I less than a tree that I shouldn't have the qualities of the tree? I'm a king, so you should give them a portion of my kingdom. I once went to Gurudev and I told him that the GBCs are giving me a really hard time. They've just gotten me in a room. They've surrounded me. And they're all criticizing me. They're telling me, why are you mentioning Narayan Maharaj's name? Don't you realize that we ISKCON leaders are just like fish in a fishbowl? That means everything the fish does, the people who own the fishbowl, look into the fishbowl and see what the fish do. So you, meaning me, Shamrani, you and us are all like fishbowls, fish in the fishbowl of ISKCON. So why are you jeopardizing our whole situation here by mentioning Narayan Maharaj's name? So I went back to Gurudev, and so I was crying, because you can imagine, he's, you know, six biggies. So I was crying, and I went to Gurudev, and Gurudev said, are they free from anarthas? So I said, well, I don't think so, but you always give them so much respect. He said, I do that to inspire them, to give them enthusiasm. Then he said, if you're going to Vrindavan, suppose you're walking to Vrindavan and it's raining, what will you do? Not go? No, you put on an umbrella. So no matter what's happening, unless the person is, you know, a pure devotee and he's criticizing you, don't stop your march towards the real Vrindavan. Gurudev quoted our Param Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, telling his disciples, if you have some quarrel with each other, don't take it to me, take it to the court, because you haven't come to me for this. Just one other point about Maharaj Parikit, when he was cursed to die within 7 days. He said, "This is due to my neglect." He immediately blamed himself, just like Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, though there was absolutely no fault on his part when he was laughing in his trance of meditation while he was chanting japa, because a sakhi in his trance told a joke and he was laughing, and the lame devotee came, and Rupa Goswami was laughing, and the lame devotee thought that he was committing an offense to him and laughing at him. So just like there was no fault on the part of Rupa Goswami, but Rupa Goswami pretended to have lost his bhajan ability. And he said, it must be due to an offense. And he tried to find out who he had offended. But that was just for our benefit to know that if we're not able to do bhajan, it's something of me, some offense that I've done. So similarly, Maharaj Parikit was thinking, it's due to my neglect of that Brahmin because I committed an offense and I put a snake around his neck. So whatever calamity is supposed to come, let it come. Now I'm freed and I know not to do it again. This is called Narayana Parayana. That is seeing heaven and hell as equal because not being only interested in Narayan, not in any heavenly situation. If I'm interested in a heavenly situation, then I have to fear a hellish situation. Maharaj Yudhisthira is another excellent example. Duryodhana considered himself the great enemy of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and he was always doing bad things to try and kill them. So, but how did Maharaj Yudhisthira look at Duryodhana? He would call him Suryodhana. Durya, as in Duryatma, means a very small, wicked-minded person, as opposed to a Mahatma, a great soul. So he and Surya is the demigods. So he would call him Suryodhana instead of Duryodhana, because even though Duryodhana considered himself the enemy of Maharaj Yudhisthira, Kalindi, even though somebody thought himself the enemy of Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Yudhisthira is known as Ajatasatru. Ajatasatru means one whose enemy is never born. From his point of view, he has no enemies. What time is it? 8:15, okay. Then Gurudev said, we should think, if I'm considering, if I at least have the wherewithal to consider first whether I should criticize somebody, Gurudev said, we should think, I'm not authorized. I should think, am I authorized? Has my Gurudev authorized me? Okay, so then how do we help each other? That means I should just shut up if anybody's doing anything that's hurting their Krishna consciousness or hurting anybody else's Krishna consciousness? No. It means that we try to help them. If I don't have a relationship with them that I can help them directly, then I ask somebody who does have a relationship and their respect who can help them. But it doesn't mean that I just shut up and not help them. And it doesn't mean that I just think about it and not help them. But it means that I take positive action to help somebody, or it just goes out of my mind. And even if I'm correcting someone, I'm correcting someone for their benefit, and then as soon as I finish, as soon as the speech is over and they go their way and I go my way, or we continue walking together, then I stop thinking about it, because I did my duty for their benefit. But if I keep thinking about how they're wrong and how I corrected them, then their bad thing, or what I consider the bad thing, comes to me. One of my GBC godbrothers once told Gurudev that here we are in an institution and we're not supposed to find fault with others, and yet to protect the institution and even the person, we have to discriminate who's doing the right thing and who's doing the wrong thing, and correct them. So Gurudev said, you can do that if you have priti, which means love. Like Mother Yasoda said to Krishna, who she understood was the biggest thief in Braj. And when she would catch him or hear about his nefarious activities from the other elderly gopis, she would say, and Gurudev put his hand on his hip and made a very sweet face with his eyebrow up, saying, may I beat you? And going like that with his finger, oh, you naughty boy, may I beat you? So she had so much priti. Gurudev said, if you don't criticize with priti, then your heart will become hard. It will be offense and your heart will be hard. And then you won't be able to distinguish who you're criticizing. And in Holland, when he was talking about the same point, priti means love. Not that I'm criticizing you with love, but real love. So, what was I saying? In Holland, Gurudev continued this idea by saying that if you're criticizing even those who are criticizable, even those who are criticizing your guru, they're definitely criticizable. But if you criticize them, then gradually you'll lose discrimination who to criticize, and you'll even criticize your own guru and Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was speaking about a person who that had actually happened to, and that's why he brought it up.
But what about
criticizing the thing that they say? You can criticize the thing that they say. Prabhupada said, suppose somebody says to me, what do you think of Guru Maharaj Ji? Most of you don't know Guru Maharaj Ji. He was before your time. He was a big bogus guru in the 60s. And he used to say that he was God, that he was Krishna, and he used to wear a Krishna helmet. And he was actually a very illegal person and immoral, and finally they threw him in jail. And somebody threw a pie in his face. And Prabhupada said, I'd kick on his head. But, with boot. Anyway, so Prabhupada once said, if somebody will ask me, do you know Guru Maharaj Ji or so-and-so, then I will say, I won't say what I think about him, but I will say, I don't know, what's his philosophy? And then when you tell me his philosophy, then I will criticize the philosophy, not the person. Does that answer the question?
Yes, but what about if there's people who criticize Gurudev and you don't want to criticize them because you don't want to be absorbed in that frame of mind or get the qualities, but at the same time you want your godbrothers and godsisters to know that this person, like everyone should know, this person is criticizes your Gurudev.
This person, by saying this person is saying these things about my Gurudev. I'm not saying anything bad about him, like, you know, he's an evil person. And then you ask them, if it's necessary, if it's not necessary to say that, you have to say the name. For example, I made a big mistake. One of my GPC godbrothers, that is, what's his name? I forget his name. Napai, huh? Shiva Ramaswamy. He wrote a book called Napare Hum. And in there, it was, Napare Hum is Krishna speaking to the gopis and saying, you know, I have no capacity to repay you because your love for me is so great. Even if I had a lifetime of millions of brahmas, I still couldn't repay you. So he did a book of the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. But it was half real pastimes and half made-up pastimes. Like he took real people, and like he may have a couple of sentences of the real pastime that you'd find in the scripture, and then he'd get into a whole new pastime that he made up. Like Radharani ordered somebody, one of her sakis, to write a letter to somebody, or she was having a conversation with a bird, that didn't happen. And Shri Ram explained it in the introduction to the book, that I'm doing this because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also did this in Jivadharma. That is, he took real people and he made up a whole story, whole pastimes of exchanges, just to teach certain philosophical points. So in order to teach philosophical points, I'm also combining real with non-real. So I wrote to Gurudev, and Gurudev wrote back. I said, would you like to comment? Because I'm thinking of writing an article. Should I? And Gurudev said, definitely. And he spoke three paragraphs of how demoniac that was. So then we wrote the article proving beyond a shadow of a doubt from Prabhupada himself that it's unacceptable to make anything up in spiritual affairs. But I didn't say his name. I think that was a mistake on my part, because people couldn't. I said the name of the book at least, but I think I should have said the name as well, because it was going out to a large audience and a lot of people might not have been able to relate. At other times, I did mention the name, and that person became furious. Like when Tripurari Maharaj said bad things about Gurudev, even said that Prabhupada was a coward boy, or that trying to pull Srila Sridhar Maharaj into saying that Prabhupada is a coward boy and that Gadadhar Pandit is really Rukmini and all that. And then I said his name and it got violent reactions from him. So I don't know exactly which is right or wrong, but I didn't say there was anything bad about him. I just said he said this and here's the proof that this is wrong. So, but one time somebody actually wrote something that was really against Gurudev, and he put it on the internet. So I was so angry with him that I was in the van with some devotees, and his name was so-and-so Maharaj. So I called him so-and-so Asura. I connected the first part of his name with Asura instead of Maharaj. Somehow or other, one of the devotees in the van told Gurudev, and Gurudev called for me. And he chastised me. He said, this is very bad. And again, only criticize the points and not the person. It brings us down to their level. So does that answer your question? But then I'm not going to think of Shiva Ram or anybody once I do the article. And after this class, I'm not going to think about him. But like you said, shouldn't people know that that person is doing it for their protection? Not to convince him. I wasn't trying to convince him that his book was bogus, because he'd already written other books saying that Gurudev is bogus. So it's not that you neglect those who are against bhakti and bhakta, and you preach to the innocent. So we're not trying to convince them, but as you said, to protect the person, if need be, to mention the name, and otherwise just to mention the wrong philosophy, and then they can come to their own conclusions if they know those people and if they have the sincerity and Sukritis and Sanskars to recognize, oh God, I'm in the wrong association. Does that answer the questions? So now it's 8:20, and did I answer the first part of the thing that had to be 8:25? Did I answer the first part, that is, how to be satisfied within the group of our own gender sufficiently, or do you have further question on that? Because this principle is so important that it really makes the difference between satisfaction and unsatisfaction.
What happens if we don't find satisfaction within
the girls? Well, then either one or two things happen. Then either I try to look for other girls, if I'm really doing the best I can, and it's really they're just a bunch of mean, wicked girls. then I might, or just like low prajalpa, and I can't change them, and I can't associate with them, and they only want to talk about prajalpa, and they only want to talk about bad things about other people, and I can't change them, and they're just so into it, then I can find other girls that are what I want, which is who want to become Krishna conscious. Or, if there's really something within me, then I'll go and look for the association of boys. But then the problem with boys, association with boys, is that Prabhupada said, man is good, woman is good, but when you put them together, it's bad. Because that's the root of all material misconceptions and material desires. But we already discussed this in great detail in the last class, so if anybody wasn't there, I think Achyuta Krishna Prabhu has the tape of that. Oh, okay. So are there any other questions?
How should you think or react when, like, your really close friends, they say things or act in ways that actually really hurt you, where you're supposed to just be like, okay, shouldn't be seen H&M, more low than the straw in the street, so, you know, you just take it, or, you know, it's like, you're supposed to, I mean, if you're going to have a relationship with that person, how do you react and, like, basically...
Okay. Trinada Peach Sunichina has various extensions. One extension may be to make all the adjustments in the mind as I've already quoted. But if that's not successful, like, one may, wow, thanks. You're actually glorifying me because you don't really know how bad I am. This was pretty good. But if all that mental stuff and just I'm happy to show respect for them because I know if I show respect for them and I don't resent them for what they said and I just keep respecting them and I take it to heart that I am bad, if I can do that, great. If I can't do that, then what I can do is I can do the Trinada Pisunichina on another branch, that is so-and-so, oh so-and-so, can I tell you something from my heart? I really like you a lot and I really value our friendship. I need to share something with you from my heart. Please help me with this. What you said to me yesterday really hurt my feelings. It made me think such and such. Can you tell me how to think about it, or what should I do about now the funny feelings I have towards you? And then that humility and honesty should make a breakthrough. And I'll call on Anita to say something about that stuff that you learned from Sattvato.
Not the mic. I'm not sure exactly what to say, but you... They talk about
assertive rather than
they talk about if you have all these emotions that are there, like Shamari said, if you're not being honest about it, like we can try to apply the philosophy, but if the emotions are still there, they're real, and you talked about holding them down is like holding down a beach ball underwater, and it's like it doesn't go away, you're just putting all this energy into like holding it down. So they taught us how to make an assertive statement, and the basic formula is you state a fact. Like yesterday, you said to me, "That's the ugliest sari I've ever seen," and then something that's real, you know, that actually happened, that can't be debated, and then say that how it made you feel, and just express your feelings. And then
you're not judging them; you're just saying how it made you feel.
It's just talking about your own, you know. This happened. This is how I reacted to it. Like, I'm sharing that with you because maybe you don't know how I reacted to it. And then you can give what you would like to see, like in the future, if you don't like my clothes, if you can not tell me in front of everybody, or you know, whatever. how you would like to see it, and then it
and
opens
that's showing
up
respect.
The, that opens up the dialogue that you can express your emotions, but it's not about hurting the other person back. Mm-hmm. It's just about releasing your own emotions.
Is that helpful? Anything else?
Oh wow! Right now I'm at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I know.
And
was that helpful?
That was very helpful.
Thank you. Everybody say Hari Bol Ranga Devi.
Hari Bol Ranga Devi. Dhanyavaad.
She says Hari Bol and Dhanyavaad.
And actually, I was reading something in Australia from Gurudev's lecture, and he said all the stuff that we were talking about just now in class, he said if you want to enter the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gurudev, this is what you have to do.
See, Amrani, I have one question. It's of course related to my own situation, but because in Finland we have some nice relationship with Tripurari Swami's disciples, and last summer we had some programs together, and my mind was disturbed whole summer because if they come to my home and we sing together, and I don't know how to think about it, because I have heard that their guru is not completely favorable for our guru, and I'm all the time like thinking I should respect them, but why do we sing together, what is their goal, and what if some mood from the guru comes to my heart? And on the other hand, I should respect them because they are sincere devotees and they respect my guru there, but this and that and that, and my mind is completely like, I don't know how at all how to behave with them, and it is a very painful situation.
Well, here's one suggestion. You might tell them, Can I share something that happened with you a few years ago with our Gurudev? Do you read from Gurudev's books in front of them, and they like him?
Yeah.
Or what do you talk about? Okay, and they like it, so they're okay.
They
suggested
that we read from Gurudev's.
Well, great.
They actually read Savadharma, Gurudev's Savadharma, in their own programs.
Oh, great. That's good. So it seems like it's an all right thing. But if you want to proceed further, you can tell them that, can I share something with you that happened with my Guru Maharaj in relation to Tripurari Swami? That is, in 1997, he went to visit Tripurari Maharaj's temple. And then he went to Holland. And they asked him, what do you think of Tripurari Maharaj? And Gurudev went like this. Like he embraced the air to show that he was embracing him. I wonder if you have any pastimes to share with Tripurari Maharaj, anything that he might have said in relation to our Gurudev. And then you'll know. And then you can pursue it from that point. If you want to get into that, that's a very good introduction. How does that sound?
Clever.
Okay. Any last thing? So this doesn't mean that, for example, we're going to continue to talk about Tripurari Maharaj. I was only giving the example that I used his name, but there was a reaction. Maybe I shouldn't have used his name. And the other one, I was sorry that I didn't use his name because I'm always on the mental plane. I never know. Any suggestions what I should have done in both cases?
It's a little bit of a different topic, but in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it says that the guru and disciple should get to know each other. I don't know if that's the right words, but like for 1 year they should
examine
each other. And then, so Gurudev sometimes criticized that he'll just initiate anybody right when he meets them. So for preaching, how do we, how do we think about that, what should we say?
Gurudev's known them. When, as soon as he sees somebody, he knows 10,000 past and future births. So, Prabhupada could easily have initiated somebody at the moment, but he was knowing his audience. He didn't want to make it as a cheap thing that I'll get initiated. But first he was, okay, everybody was an animal, illicit sex, gambling. First, you know, stop that stuff for a while and show that you're really serious about initiation, then I'll give you initiation. So he could have done it the other way, but he chose to do it that way to make them not take it cheaply. And still, so many took it cheaply. Even those who were sannyas took it cheaply and did so many very immoral and illegal activities. So why, then you can say, why did Prabhupada give sannyas to unqualified people who became homosexuals after that? So homosexuals, murderers, gunslingers, karmis, and so on. So Gurudev answered, and Prabhupada also answered in the eighth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, that in the story of Gajendra, the elephant, Gajendra was dragged into the waters by the crocodile. And generally an elephant is stronger than a crocodile, but in the water a crocodile is stronger than the elephant. And that's why the crocodile was winning for many thousands of years. He was winning. So Prabhupada said, so similarly, I've given so many boys sannyas who are not qualified, and then they, fall down after that. But I've done it for preaching, because people listen to sannyas, and the whole Vedic culture is to listen to sannyas, and if I'm sannyas, that means I'm going to go around the world and preach. So I've done it for preaching, but we see that they're falling down into householder life. So, all right, just like Gajendra, he was weak in one point. He was weak because he was in the water. So similarly, somebody may be weak in one area, like lust, but that doesn't mean that he should stop the fight against Maya. And somebody may not be lusty, but he may not be even as interested in Krishna consciousness. So the Gurudev said that people are criticizing Prabhupada for that, but Prabhupada knew that they were going to fall down, but whatever he did, whether he was starting the Gurukula, in which there was so much abuse, or whether he was making people sannyas, he knew what he was doing, and he did it for the benefit of the whole universe. But if we imitate him, then everything is ruined. Just like, why did Krishna allow that Draupadi be attempted to be derobed? Why did Krishna allow that his grandchildren would commit the offense to the sages, and thus the iron ball in the underneath the sari of Samba would turn into the point of destruction to the whole Yadav dynasty? Because Krishna had a universal plan. Why did Lord Ram go after the deer, even when Lakshman said, it's not a deer, it's Marichi the demon? And then that same demon, when Ram killed him, shot him as he was dying, the demon was still being demoniac, and he called out, "Oh Lakshman, Sita, help me," or something like that. "Lakshman, Sita," and Sita said, "Lakshman, Ram is calling you." And Lakshman said, "It's not Ram, it's a demon." And Sita said, "I don't believe you. You're just lusty for me, and that's why don't want to leave." Why did she do that? She's the supreme goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. More than that, because they had a plan for deliverance of the universe. So similarly, Prabhupada or Gurudev. And why does Gurudev give it? He doesn't always give instant. He has to be the person has to be recommended by somebody, And if he gives it instant, it's because he knows 10,000 births past and future. And Gurudev himself explained that even if the person leaves after a short time, and he knows the person's going to leave, but still he gives them initiation. Why? Because number one, it's not real initiation. Real initiation is a spiritual pact between, but he's giving the person a feeling of commitment, even if it's temporary. And within that time, the person's done something good, and that will carry him to his next life. So in millions of lives, he's getting a little bit here, a little bit there, and then it adds up, and then he's steady. Then he has the real seed and the real Shraddha. Does that answer the question? Okay, Kaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. 1 minute kirtan, Manjari.
So can you make a CD that was additional to the other one? We can give a set. Huh? Make a CD.